This week we read Parsha Beshalach, and it's famous for the splitting of the sea. Before we begin, a few incredible questions. What made Paro chase after the Jewish people? What was Moshe doing with Yosef's coffin? And what was the satnav that the Jews used in the desert? How did the sea split? What happened after the sea split? Which mitzvot were given before Har Sinai? And who is Amalek? And why did they attack the Jews? Let's enter Parshat Beshalach. Parshat Beshalach begins with the Jewish people in the year 2448, taking a break from 210 years of slavery, and a nation leaves. 600,000 men, apart from the women and the children, added together, the Chafetz Chaim says around 3 million Jews left Egypt. And don't forget, those are chamushim. Chamushim can mean armed, or it can mean only one-fifth of the Jewish nation left. That means four-fifths, if it's 3 million, 12 million roughly, did not survive. They are the ones that passed away during the plague of darkness for their lack of emunah and faith. Only 3,600,000 men of the age of 20 and above, army ready, left Egypt. As they are leaving, they are given an incredible mitzvah, the commandment to actually go to their neighbors and demand money, gold, silver, diamonds, any wealth that they could, and ransack Egypt. This was payback time for 210 years of slavery, killing, torture, and oppression. The Jewish people are happy to do this mitzvah, and they go about reminding the Egyptians where they store their money. Don't forget, during the time of the darkness, the Jewish people went in to their neighbors' homes and found out where they stored their everything. And now the time had come for them to leave Egypt. They said, you remember, you have some money in this drawer on the top left shelf, on the right shelf. Can we have it? And they said, sure, take it, because the Egyptians just wanted the Jewish people to get out of Egypt. Meanwhile, Moshe was chasing another mitzvah. Chacham lev yikach mitzvot. A wise person takes mitzvot. Which kind of mitzvot? The mitzvot that people push away. Moshe didn't want to leave Egypt without the coffin of Joseph. Yosef had already promised the Jewish people at the beginning, many years earlier, that the time will come when they will go out of Egypt. And he made them promise that they would take his coffin back up to the land of Israel. The time had come now, and he went to the River Nile, because the Egyptians had buried Yosef's coffin in the River Nile. And it was very heavy, and he didn't know where it was. And he wrote down a certain name of Hashem, and he said, Ale Shor, arise, ox. And a miracle happened, and the coffin came out. At that time, there was a boy called Micha who was looking from the bushes, and he saw Moshe, and he went afterwards to take this parchment. This parchment was later used to form the golden calf, but we'll get there in Parashat Ki Tisa. Meantime, the Jewish people are now ready to leave, and they move swiftly across Egypt and out of Egypt. God didn't want to take them the short way. The short way to Israel was full of enemies, and the Bnei Ephraim had tried to leave Egypt many years earlier and were unfortunately annihilated along that way, and God didn't want them to see the badness. He wanted to see them the goodness, and he didn't want people chasing after them. The only people he wanted was Paro, as we will see. So he took them the long way. How did they know where they were going? The satnav was none other than a cloud of glory in the day, and by night a pillar of fire. The Jews had originally told Paro that they were only going for 3 days, but of course this had now ended, because Paro had screamed in Parshat Va'era, you are now all free to go. However, Paro sent spies with the Jewish people. As the Jewish people went up out of Egypt, a lot of converts joined the Jewish nation, as well as a few spies. The spies, after 3 days, saw that the Jewish people were not going back to Egypt, came back to Paro, told him about it. Paro was exhausted, 10 big plagues. What made Paro decide to chase after the Jews? Well, God Almighty had destroyed every single idol. You see, when Hashem destroys a nation, he destroys their idols as well, what they worship. And every single idol in Egypt had been destroyed, apart from one, the idol called Baal Zephon. And God told the people to go back on themselves. They went back on themselves and they encamped by this idol. If you can imagine this massive idol on the top over there, overhanging the Jewish people. And the Jewish people were stayed over there. As Paro heard about this, he said, wow, this must be a greater idol than their God. I will chase after them. However, he had to garner the people and his soldiers, and everyone was looking to the right, to the left. Not me, thank you very much. But Paro now promised them, whatever you take, it will be yours. The Jews left with loads of wealth. You don't have to share it with anyone. You come with me, you're going to get it. And normally, the king goes behind. I will lead the chase. I'm so confident we're going to destroy these people. They don't even know how to fight. They've been slaves for so many years. We're going to take them. We're going to kill them, annihilate them. As we learn later in the Shira, that's what Paro was saying. I will get them and I will take out my Arich Harbi, Torishema Yadi. They will not stand a chance. The soldiers heard this and of course were excited to join Paro's army. In those days they didn't have tanks, but they had these incredible chariots, and Paro organized 600 of the best horse-drawn chariots in all of Egypt. The question is asked, how did the Egyptians have horses? Surely they were killed? And the answer is, Makat Dever killed only the animals in the field. And that was true by Barad as well, hail as well. But the Egyptians who feared God brought their animals inside by the hail. And these God-fearing Egyptians, in inverted commas God-fearing, weren't very God-fearing because they now gave their horses to chase the Jews. The Jews were grasped with fear. The Jews didn't know what to do. They were grasped with so much fear. They finally got free from Egypt. And now Paro was actually chasing after them. What's going on? What should we do? Some people said, let's go and return. Let's give up. Some people said, no, we can fight. Other people said, let's go to the right, to the left. But there were wild animals and it was difficult. And some people said, let's go into the sea. Moshe was praying to God Almighty, and this is the only time it seems that God actually tells Moshe, stop praying to me. How can it be that God tells Moshe to stop praying? Well, either the amount of tefillot prayer by everybody else was so incredible that Moshe's prayer wasn't needed at this stage, or it was now time for action. Prayer is important, but there's always time for action. Just to pray alone without action is not enough. Go into the sea, he says. And there was one man called Nachshon ben Aminadav. He was a Nasi, he was a prince of the tribe of Judah. And the Jews are watching, but Nachshon went in further and further into the water until it reached his waist and the water still hadn't split. He didn't stop. He went. The water was up to his shoulders already. Still no miracle. Now it was up to his nose. And imagine he's carrying stuff in the water. Any further and he would drown. And finally, at that very moment, the sea split. The sea splitting is an amalgamation not only of Nachshon, but also it says the sea saw the coffin of Joseph, just like Yosef ran away from Potiphar's wife to save himself from sin. Now the sea runs away, so to speak, in order to enable the Jews to go. As well, Moshe had lifted up his hand and his stick, and there was prayer. There were so many things happening, and you can imagine the Jews were amazed. They never thought this would happen. The sea splits into 12 different roads. As we learn in the Mishnah, Hashem made different pathways per different tribe. There was water fountains, then fruit trees, says the Midrash. They had a certain marble floor, and it was incredible miracles within miracles. And Paro's army eventually sees this. There was a cloud that was separating, and they said, okay, let's go and let's chase. And they started to chase. When the Egyptian forces came charging into the sea, the horses and heavy chariots sank into the seafloor, and the boiling mud burnt off the chariot wheels. The horses kept racing forward without chariot wheels. The Egyptians' bones broke from the bumpy ride. To frighten the soldiers, Hashem filled the air with a constant booming of great claps of thunder. It was in the middle of the night, a few hours before dawn. All the Jews were safely out of the sea on the beach, and all the Egyptians were in the middle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, stretch your arm over the sea and the water will go back. The water had been a wall on the right, on the left. An incredible miracle happened, and the Jews watched as Moshe held his arm out over the sea, and suddenly the solid walls came smashing down, killing all the Egyptians. The Egyptians eventually rolled out onto the seashore so that the Jews wouldn't fear and think, oh no, maybe they escaped, they came out to a different part. And the Egyptians had chased with golden chariots and silver and diamonds because they themselves believed so much that they would destroy the Jews. They used to go out in the pomp, and now the Jews took even more gold and silver and more wealth at the sea than they took out of Egypt. At that moment, the Jews let out a big song called Az Yasheh, the song at the sea. It was a song by Moshe, Az Yasheh Moshe uvenei Yisrael. And they just let it out in unison, and it was incredible. And then that song was followed by a song, a praise of thanks, none other by Miriam and all the ladies. Miriam and the ladies had even greater faith than the men. You see, they left Egypt with drums. If you have been a slave for 210 years, why would you take drums when you can carry gold and silver? They wanted to have the ability to thank Hashem, and they knew that Hashem would be with them and give them the miracle. And she leads the ladies in a massive song with the drums and the tupim and cholot and singing and dancing. The Jews move on after 3 days and they get to a place called Marah where the water is bitter, and the Jews say to Moshe, what are we going to drink? And Hashem showed Moshe a tree whose wood is bitter and told him, throw it into the water. And all the Jews watched as a bitter tasting wood made it into the water, and a miracle happened and it turned it into sweet water. Next, the Jews stop at Elim. It was an oasis in the desert. When God made the world, Hashem prepared 12 springs of water in this place in honor of the 12 tribes. There was also 70 palm trees full of luscious dates. Why 70? To honor the 70 great wise men who were leaders of the Jewish people. The Jews continued. They didn't have any food and they complained, and they came up to Moshe and there was a bit of a panic. And eventually Moshe told the Jews, why complain against us? You need to be speaking to God Almighty. He's the one who gives food. This afternoon you're going to get meat. That afternoon an enormous flock of fat juicy birds came flying down over the camp. And the next morning the Jews got up and witnessed an incredible miracle, none other than the manna. The food that came every single day, every morning the Jews would go out and collect a certain portion called an omer. And no man was allowed to be saved to the next day. On Erev Shabbat, on Friday, the Jews received a double portion. That's why we have two chalot. And on Shabbat, they're not allowed to go out. Some Jews went out on Shabbat and were shown to have sinned. God was angry with them and he asked, how long will you refuse to do my commandments on Shabbat? Stay home and don't try and collect man. The idea is we work on Erev Shabbat so that Shabbat we can actually enjoy with God Almighty. The Jews came to a place of Rephidim and again complained about water. God told Moshe to go to Har Chorev, take the stick that you use to hit the river Nile, and I'm going to show you a rock and you have to hit it. Later on in life, many years later, God told Moshe to speak to the rock. But right now, at this instance, this is when God tells Moshe to hit the rock. Moshe hits the rock, and water flows through. And this water accompanied the Jews throughout the desert and is known as the Well of Miriam. Since they were testing God and Moshe, God enables Amalek to attack the Jewish people. But Amalek is attacking with no real reason. We didn't want their land. We didn't want anything from them. The Jews had done nothing to Amalek. Amalek just had anti-Semitism to its ripeness. And therefore, God says, eventually, Joshua pushes the women away with Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer. But God says, I will forever remember the battle against Amalek, midor dor. Every generation has its own Amalek, but God Almighty eventually will destroy all evil and peace will prevail. That's Lessons for Life, Parshat B'Shalach.